The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
The Killers have got a new song out called The Man With The Plan.
Yeah.
Well, Wayne Bennett is the man with the plan for England in the World Cup.
This is the impression he's certainly giving out anyway. But what do you make of his squad?
Well, a lot
it's
of people...
It's a bit light on backs, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It certainly is. Not many centres in that team.
And you look at it as well, and there's a couple of players that can, you know, are really unlucky not to have got a call up. We were talking off air before we went
Paul
on.
Paul McShane, definitely.
Definitely one. I'm thinking Liam Farrell from Wigan as well.
Yes, Liam Watts.
Liam Watts has been tremendous. He's got a little bit of mongrel in him, hasn't he?
He has, and you need that in Australia sometimes.
I would think so. I would think so. You need a bit of aggression, don't you?
If you're going to beat Australia in their own backyard, yeah, and my word, if you look at that Tonga team, you're certainly going to need a bag full of aggression if you play them.
Oh, Tonga have really put a notice out, haven't they, that they mean business this World Cup. I mean, getting the likes of Andrew Fifita to go over as well. And but you look at other teams as well, and like Papali also
I'm glad you said that.
To swap. And you've got Jared Hayne as well playing for Fiji. Nobody's going to have it easy in this World Cup, are they?
Mentioned Wayne Bennett's the man with the plan for England, but for Warrington, it's finally being announced. Steve Price is the man with the plan for 2018 alongside Andrew Henderson.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for London.
Yeah, I
did.
Done
a great job there. And all of a sudden, just when you fear they're getting it right, the man with the plan for them has decided, nope, I want to go back.
I'm going for a different plan.
To the north of England. And I do apologise. Back to the north of England, and now they've got to start looking for a new coach.
I mean, you know, Hendo certainly deserves it, doesn't he? I mean, he's been around long enough. He was thrust into the main job at London a couple of seasons ago. He's been brilliant over the last 2 years. He's won the Championship Coach of the Year this year. He obviously thinks that his next step in his progression is to go as a number two in Super League, with the idea of probably, in a couple of years' time, a number one job.
Welcome to the Final Hooter. It's live on Radio General. Played across the airwaves on loverugby.com. Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson talking Rugby League. Can't loosely mention the England team. That's because I went to the media launches today, so we've got plenty of reaction from that. But we will look at the World Cup more in depth as it gets closer to the start of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll
end... In the Rugby League podcast. Well, is that what we're calling it?
The World Cup podcast.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Is that what we do? We're not going to call it the Shield podcast anyway. Have you not got any Shields?
No, we'll give them all away.
Which leads us nicely onto the next segment, doesn't it? The Great Shield Giveaway of 2017.
2017. Should we do it now?
Drum roll. Go on.
Okay, then. Because we know they got a bag full of Shields to give away. I mean, they had that many to give away. They were giving them away on the TV as for Man of the Match in Super League. They must have given about 50 away.
I know. I was trying to think about who would have got the most, because there's several players that seem to just keep getting Men of the Match awards, isn't there?
Zach Hardacre must have about half a dozen.
Yeah, won't be needing any more of him, will he?
Not for a while. Not for the next 2 years, if found guilty.
We'll come to that in a minute, because I've got a bit of something that I want to say on that subject.
All right.
Actually.
So should we go through the list of Big Shield giveaway for 2017? League Leaders Shield went to Castleford. League Leaders Shield in the Championship went to Hawkinson Rovers. The Championship Shield went to Toulouse. League One Shield went to Toronto.
I'm keeping note of all these, you know.
Yeah. League Leaders won in League One. That's Toronto, right? League One Shield winners.
Okay, yeah.
Huntslet. Is that it?
I think that's it for the Shields.
And another one for the Men of the Matches.
Interestingly enough, I know Barrow got promoted. Well done to them.
They got a cup.
They got a cup for it.
Just like Leeds.
Exactly.
Got a trophy.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Must have ran out of Shields.
They must have done. So that's who won what. Who got relegated from where?
All right. Teams who got relegated. Unfortunately, Lee, as we all know.
Thanks.
Oldham and Bradford. Bradford in the third tier of Rugby League. Who'd have thought that?
They're still
15 years ago.
A lot of their fans are still hopeful something's going to be said and something's going to change.
Jeff Tuve, will he stick about?
I think he's already given the indication that's him done.
He's gone.
He's back to Australia, isn't he?
He said he's going to.
He said if he comes back, he'll let him know.
Yeah, let him know when you're back in Super League and I'll come back. Is that what you're saying?
It's something like that.
Teams who got promoted and they're probably still having a party. Hawkinson Rovers, Toronto, and Barrow.
I've got to commend Barrow, because any other season we'd really, really be talking them up, wouldn't we? But they've gone head to head with Toronto all through the year.
All the talk's been about Toronto, baby.
It has, but you know, Barrow's done tremendously well. Paul Crary there, what a job he's done there as coach.
What a tremendous game it was to win that game as well.
Oh, it was something else, to be honest.
Proper rugby league.
Proper old-fashioned rugby
league. Proper Cumbrian rugby league it was.
You know, I'm not calling us dinosaurs, but we really enjoyed it. Bash and barge, that's what it was. Bash and barge. Everyone forward.
That much mud on the field, you couldn't even see who had the ball. It was that muddy.
You couldn't tell the numbers. You know it's a good game when you can't tell the numbers on a rugby man at the end of the game.
Yeah, Paul Crary, I spoke to him at the start of the season. He was confident Barrow could get the job done, and they have done.
And to be fair, I spoke to him after they won the League One Cup.
Mm.
And again, he was confident that they could carry it on towards the end of the season. So, yeah, very well done to them. And we don't talk about clubs like Barrow often enough, do we, on this here podcast? So, well played.
Good to see a Cumbrian club in the second tier of rugby league, finally.
Very much so. And obviously,
you've been missed. Welcome back.
Obviously, on everybody's lips will be the case of, can they ever get a Super League club up there?
Not had one since Workington, have they?
Not since Workington.
How many years ago was that? 21 years ago?
Start Super League, yeah.
Wow. Long time ago.
I borrow the team to push the boundaries, to go forward, to go forth, multiply, bring in the Australians galore, and end up challenging.
Well, we've always been told it's a rugby league heartland. It is. It's a stronghold. Been there many times and come back winless during my glamorous rugby league playing days. For West Bank, but
Barrow,
there you go.
Island.
Yeah, some big teams out there. So potentially Cumbria's got it. It's whether they can put the internal arguing that they always seem to have amongst themselves to one side.
But Barrow have certainly put themselves forward now as the top team, haven't they?
They're top dogs in Cumbria.
They can certainly, they've got the bragging rights, they can run with it for a bit.
Workington and Whitehaven can just look on enviously.
And interesting to see as well that, I know that Workington's looking for another coach.
They are.
Dave Clark stepped down there.
Mr. Cumbria.
Did you know that the previous coach at Workington, Phil Vevers, has just accepted a job for Ashton Burrs?
Wow.
In the Northwest Men's League.
That's a drop down in standards.
That certainly is, isn't it? You know, but I'm sure he'll do a fine job there.
Dave Clark, he seems to do the rounds in Cumbria, doesn't he? He's been at Barrow. He always seems to be the man a couple of years ago, that's the man who saved the day for Barrow.
He was. Makes you wonder whether he's waiting in the wings
just in case it goes wrong. And Paul Curry gets elbowed out.
Well, you know, we don't want to talk about really anybody losing the job.
No, not at all.
And certainly Barrow, number one team in Cumbria.
Flying the flag. Flying in the championship for Cumbria.
Now, we did touch upon him before, and it'd be remiss of us not to mention the whole Zach Hardacre story. He's been a stupid so-and-so, hasn't he?
He has, difficult one to explain, isn't it, where it all went wrong, but there you go.
I do a regular column in the Lee Observer, and I've taken pen to paper this week, and this is what I've said. So the announcement that I didn't enjoy was the revelation that Zach Hardacre had tested positive for cocaine and has been suspended from all rugby league pending investigation. The first thing that flashed across my mind was silly so-and-so. He's been reckless, he's been stupid, he's been careless, and he's been caught. It got me thinking, why do players play Russian roulette with their career? I don't understand it. To be fair, and I know you've played rugby league at a level.
Yeah, they had a go.
It's a higher level than I ever got to. You know, I would have loved to have taken the field, but I wasn't strong enough, I wasn't fast enough, I wasn't clever enough. Hardacre's all of those things and more. He's in the top three players in this country.
Sadly, though, I know no one's admitting it, but it is quite, I think it's widely rife.
Well, that was my next question. You know, like, is this something, and why? Why would you do it?
I think it's just a social thing, personally. It's not just with rugby, but it's not just rugby league that's got that problem. Football has it, other sports as well. You know what I mean? But
we're talking a Class A drug here, though. If you get caught in possession, you can get locked up for 7 years.
Exactly.
Can't you?
Yeah, but these guys know they run the risk that they might not get caught. But if they do, you're looking at a loss of earnings for 2 to 4 years, aren't you? Then you've got to question whether they got the hunger to come back.
I know
Gareth Hott did it a few years ago, and he came back.
He did, he came back pretty strong, didn't he? You know, had a good end and a good finish to his career. He developed it further, didn't he?
But now, with how they could get us the 2 year ban. How old will he be when he comes back?
He'll be 28, I think, when he comes back.
Will he want to come back at 28? I don't know.
There's still time, isn't there? I mean, we've had Ranky Chase, who's also been banned this season for something very, very similar.
Maybe 33, 34 when he comes back, so debatable whether he'll return.
Does that give you questions? Because ultimately, both of those players have been playing for the same club. Does that ask questions of that?
Knocking around with the same gang.
And knocking around with the same players. Is it about that type of stuff? Mm. Now, I also saw a couple of tweets from Luke Ambler, who's done some great work with his Andy's Man's Club, all about depression in rugby league and stuff like that. And he reckons that there's more education that's needed. I mean, I understand this, and I've been in a job previously where we actually were given a talk by people that took drugs. And it does give you a more of an understanding. But I'll be honest, players get all the information they need now. You know that you shouldn't take that. So I just think, why do it?
They must think, like I just said, I mentioned it before, they must think they're not going to get pulled out for the test. They will get away with it. But there you go. Zach Hardacre played Russian roulette. He got caught. It was after the Leeds game in the Super 8s, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Where he got caught out. I know he's full of remorse and he said sorry to his teammates and Castleford. I think what shocked everybody within the game was it was the week before Castleford's biggest game in about 40 years.
Well, probably in the history, you know, you go back. And I mean, these things do take a bit of time, don't they? I mean, this was a test that was taken, I think, towards the beginning of September.
Yeah, but the actual timing of it was like Wednesday before the grand final.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw also as well a few messages criticising the Rugby League. The Rugby League has no power in this whatsoever, because this will have come from the UK drugs people, won't it, who do an administer all the tests.
Because honestly, when it was first announced that he'd infringed on club rules, I thought maybe he'd gone out for a few beers after the Man of Steel award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
and he got caught out. Yeah, never turned up for training or something.
I'll admit,
that's what I was hoping.
I'll admit, I thought something similar as well. And I thought, well, you know, he's got a bit of previous, hasn't he, for things which have happened off the field.
That's what I was hoping. But obviously, when that came out, you're thinking, oh dear.
So unfortunately, this is kind of like put a dampener on the grand final. It's put a dampener on England, doesn't it?
All the talk was the grand final. Throughout the commentary on Sky Sports for the grand final, it was all about Zach Hardacre not being there.
Now, obviously, there was the grand final. It turned into a smashing win for Leeds, didn't it? They were so dominant in this game.
Listen, I predicted it a few podcasts ago.
Am
I the only one within rugby league that thinks Castleford won't win it?
Well, I do know that someone who watches Love Rugby League, the shows that I've been doing on Love Rugby League,
he's
been backing it for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So you've not been on your own, but no. I think you've been one of the few in Rugby League that's been talking about it, in fairness.
It just seems to freeze on the night. And the harder they tried, the worse it got for them. They were trying to play that flash Rugby League, weren't they? And the conditions, unfortunately, wasn't suited for that. The typical grand final weather turned up. Rain, it always does on grand final day. And that seemed to suit Leeds, and they played perfect grand final rugby league. I think the experience of the Leeds team as well got the better of Castleford.
Danny Maguire played that game in a dinner suit, didn't he?
He did.
He was tremendous.
Roll back the years.
Come up with them two tries. I mean, if you're a Hull Kingston Rovers fan, you're watching that, you're thinking, he's coming to my club next season.
It was just the man management of it all, the kicking and the selection of passes. It just teased Castleford all night.
Absolutely superb. Shall we hear from Daryl Powell?
Let's hear from Daryl Powell.
Tough conditions tonight, but just wow. You couldn't quite get a grip of what we were doing with the ball. Most of the errors were, well, they're forced, but they're unforced, if you know what I mean. I mean, the pretty basic stuff, carrying off the ruck and just putting the ball down. So, yeah, it's hugely disappointing that we made 18 errors tonight, or, you know, 10 in the second half. And I didn't think we could get any worse than we were in the first with ball retention, but we managed to achieve that in the second. So, yeah, just massively disappointing that we just couldn't sustain or build any pressure on Leeds at all. We just did that to ourselves, really. So, yeah, just disappointed that we didn't really do ourselves justice. If we'd been able to do that and got beat, then you can hold your hands up and say, fair enough. But obviously Leeds didn't see the best of us tonight, and they were... They were pretty good, I thought. Obviously, massively deserved the win because we were nowhere near, but I don't think they had much to beat tonight, and that's the biggest disappointment from our perspective, that we just really didn't put up enough of a battle because of our ball retention. It's not the best ball, but I haven't seen as we've played in wet conditions before, and I haven't seen us make that many errors. So, you know, it just escalated on us, and what the harder we tried, the worse we got, and it was one of those games that I thought we started the game pretty well. You know, we were marching leads upfield, and we got ourselves into good field position. And then it was just errors, really. You know, whenever we looked like we were going to gain some ascendancy, we just put the ball down. I can't say it was the way that we played, because they were just carrying balls off the ruck. I thought, in the main, we defended pretty well. I mean, we've conceded tries from kicks, which happen in these type of conditions. And we didn't really get too many kicks, because we dropped the ball that many times. You know, I mean, 18 sets, 18 errors, that's almost a half of football. I mean, I don't know how much ball, I didn't check right at the end, but we might have had 15 or 16 sets in the second half. You know, you work that out, it's your completion rate is probably lower than 50% today, and you can't win grand finals. You probably won't win many games, really, completing at that sort of level. So I don't think it was the occasion. I think it was just it's hard to say what it was, because, you know, just some of the some of our boys making uncharacteristic errors consistently. We said to the players there, is like, you've got to use this as fuel, but you get a lot of blank eyes looking back at you, because it's the biggest game of the year, and we've come up short. So we'll certainly turn it round the other way, but at this moment in time, it obviously don't feel great, because you know it was a sobering experience watching that.
Very honest assessment there.
Look, you've got to lose one to win one.
Yeah, we were just saying, though, before that, Daryl Powell, if you take into account his record at Featherstone, he's actually now lost four major finals.
Are you blaming Daryl Powell?
No, not at all.
Just his record's not that great.
I'm just saying, you know, like you say, the old adage is you've got to lose one to win one.
No, he's
Daryl's
lost four.
Daryl's lost four and won one.
Well, he might win one next year.
He could do. I hope he does, to be honest, because, you know, Castleford have been a breath of fresh air this year, haven't they, with the way they've moved the ball about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like you said, they were undone by a fantastic pack performance in which Brad Singleton stood out and Cuthbertson for Leeds.
Mm.
And the kicking game of Danny Maguire. The man tremendous.
With a plan for that was Brian McDermott. And there's a guy that a couple of weeks ago they were screaming, get rid of him.
Well, they certainly were doing that.
Certainly when they got beat 60-odd points early doors in the season.
It just shows, doesn't it? And you'll hear him say it here, they held the nerve.
It's a funny one. Steve Ward just said to me on the field there, what's all that about? As if to say, do we know, do we realise what we've just done? And it's going to take some while to sink in. Majority was in the room every week when we'd lose all the way through last year, and some bad losses this year. I mean, it's crazy, we finished second, you know, and people keep telling me that we've had a ropey year, you know, we finished second. It's just we were at times so far off the standard that Castleford set. I suppose that's why people ask questions. But you'd be in the room, you in particular, come to most of our press conferences, and you're there asking all sorts of questions about, well, how are you going to pick your players up after that loss, and what will you do about this loss, and if you carry on, you're going to end up in the middle eights, and now you're in the middle eights, do you think you get relegated? And they are easy questions to answer. And sometimes you pinch yourself and think, am I answering questions about relegation? How on earth, me being Rhino's coach, are we in this situation here that we've found ourselves in 2016? So that's why I made mention after Hull. To finish second, I thought was a huge achievement. To make the grand final and beat Hull in the fashion that we did, that I think the group, led by Magsy, has been great. I had a word with Magsy after round three when Castle put 60 points on us, and we had a really difficult conversation that morning, didn't we? Saturday morning, really difficult conversation. And I don't think either one of us got it right. But the answer was to hold your nerve. And we've had so many big moments as a club where we've had to hold our nerve. Gary's been writing emails out telling the world that we'll give them four games and see what they come up with. So to get to the grand final is an achievement in itself. To win it, it's, you know, well, I don't know. That's when I get lost for words. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. And not just win it by a wafer thin margin, but we were pretty dominant there. And I think when a group of people go through so many emotions together like we have over the last 18 months, you just become a very, very strong group. Castleford have been more skillful than us this year. Castleford have put on better shows than us this year. but I'd question anybody who said they've had more commitment than us this year, than certainly towards the back end. What you saw out there was just grand finals are won on many different facets, one of them being just a sheer bloody-mindedness not to lose. It's the best story. I don't know about the best grand final win. It's the best story. My first year I came, we was all over the place throughout 2011. And, you know, the questions were asked of me, you know, me personally, a lot that year. So I'd always put that down as my best win. That was my version of saying, just stop panicking. Round 10, round 12, round 15. Let's see what it looks like towards the back end. But I think that's the best story, that one, of everything that's gone on. Do you know, I don't think this is not the coach's win. It's not even the player's win. This win tonight's for the club. This is a club win, this, because when we got pumped by Cass, I remember spending all the weekend on the phone to Gary Etherington, who was talking to me about, well, what are we going to do? How's it going to work? I need to let you know, coach, this is not good. After 2016, we need some answers. And they're not easy conversations to have. I know he's had to manage the board and the board of directors through our turbulent times this year, would have wanted answers. The fans have asked questions. People outside the club have asked questions. But the answer always was, well, let's just calm down. Let's not flap. Hold your nerve. And just, I've said it a few times since I've been at Leeds. You just walk across the car park when you're at the stadium, or we go for a meal on a Monday with players in the cafe bar, and all the staff members just give you a thumbs up all the time, no matter how bad it gets. And nobody drops their eyes, nobody walks off you from you. And the level of support you get from everybody at Leeds, it's been strong this year. And everybody's saying, look, come on, we're all right, we're good. And that's why when we win tonight, it's a club win, this one. The club owns this win. It's not about what I've done or the players, actually.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well done to Leeds Rhinos on winning the grand final. It's going to be strange next year not seeing Robbie Burrow ducking underneath the defenders and scoring tries.
And how weird is it going to look with Danny Maguire pulling on that white and red jumper?
Yeah, that's
going
to be strange, isn't it?
It's going to be weird.
His performance earning him the Harry Sunderland trophy as man of the match as well.
I don't think anybody else got a look in either.
No, not at all. Yeah, can't say anything about it, can you? He put in the perfect performance to say ta-ra to Leeds.
He did, yeah.
So it's going to be strange not seeing Robbie. Danny's gone as well. There's only Jamie Jones Buchanan left of the old youngsters that first broke through 14 years ago.
Yeah, you can say he is really the old guard now, isn't
he's
he?
Left. He's the only one left of the golden era, as he called them.
And to be honest, when you look at the squad, are you surprised that he's the only one that's left?
He's had that many injuries. That's why he's been able to prolong his career. That's why.
And he's playing pretty well, to be
he
fair,
is.
Isn't he?
You know,
he's always been a workhorse, hasn't he?
Yes. He's a handful still.
Still a handful, yeah. Yeah, very, very willing worker.
I've seen a quote from Benny Westwood.
Oh, right, okay.
Recently, everyone's saying, how old's Benny Westwood? Why is he still playing? But, and even he's admitted it. What's prolonged his career is all the injuries and probably suspensions he's had.
Well, he served quite a few, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And arguably, last season, despite Warrington struggling for consistency on the field, when he was on the field, he was very good, wasn't he?
Yes.
So, yeah, Benny Westwood.
So he might be in his early 30s, but... Yeah, because of the injuries he's had. A bit like Jamie Jones-Buchanan, he's been able to prolong it a little bit longer.
Mm.
That's the key. If you're younger and you want to play past 30, rather than being burnt out...
You've got to have all your injuries
early
on.
Get a few injuries in there when you're 24, 25. Cut the suspensions. You'll be able to carry on when you're at 34, 35 years of age. That's the way forward, baby.
It looks like it, doesn't it? Right, what are we going to talk about for the next few minutes? Shall we look at the World Cup squad?
Before we do that, let's just round up the domestic season, shall we? We mentioned the big shield giveaway, didn't we? You mentioned the teams who got promoted and relegated and God knows what. And we mentioned Danny Maguire's just won the Harry Sunderland trophy. Who got Lance Todd? Can you remember?
It was Mark Snead, wasn't it?
It was Mark Snead.
Yeah. He was testing me.
Well remembered. It was only a couple of months ago.
Yeah, but we didn't do that in rehearsal. That's what it was. You just threw that at me and expected me to, and I got there in the end.
Yeah, on the day, Hull FC winning the Challenge Cup as well. So well deserved for them. Just couldn't quite follow it up to get the hands on the grand final trophy.
No, it's very difficult to do that these days, isn't it?
I know Wigan did it.
Yeah, that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Wigan didn't do much else this season, though, did they?
No. So, yeah. Leeds won the Grand Final, Hull won the Challenge Cup, and let's not forget Barrow won the League One Cup.
Yep. Against.
I was there.
You know, it was North
Wales
Crusaders.
It was, yes, I was there.
See, we didn't do that in rehearsal either, did we?
Didn't do that one in rehearsal as well. I had the winners, just couldn't remember the runners-up.
There you go.
Listen, finals are all about winners, not runners-up.
Okay.
But well done to North Wales for getting there.
So we're not going to go semi-finalists or anything like that?
Don't do that to me.
Thank goodness for that.
I've had a lot of sleep and a lot of games covered since then. My word. Right, let's talk the World Cup, shall we?
Okay. Yeah, England, it was an interesting squad, I think, that has been named, to be fair. Shall I go through it?
Go on,
quickly.
Then. Yeah, very quickly.
So we had John Bateman, Kevin Brown, Sam Burgess, Tom Burgess, Ben Currie, Luke Gayle, James Graham, Ryan Hall, Chris Hyington, Chris Hill, Josh Hodgson, Johnny Lomax, Jermaine McGilfrey, Mike McMeekin, Sean O'Loughlin, Mark Percival, Stephen Ratchford, James Roby, Scott Taylor, Alex Walmsley, Callum Watkins, Elliot Whitehead, Gareth Widdop, and George Williams. Not forgetting the cuddly tie.
What's his name?
It was Larry Grayson, that, wasn't it?
Okay. Bruce Forsyth.
Oh, yeah, he did that as well, didn't he?
On the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generation game.
Well, with that squad.
Okay.
Can England win the World Cup? I mean, bear in mind, in the group stages, we've got Austria to kick off with, so we'll get an idea of how strong they are anyway.
Right, okay.
And then we've got the unknown quantity of Lebanon.
They've not even announced their squad
yet. Not even announced the team. They're keeping everybody guessing, aren't they?
I wonder how many Australian internationals they'll name, because they're all hopping, jumping ship, aren't they, at the moment?
They are, yeah. And then they've got France. So they should beat France.
Yeah.
Should beat Lebanon, and but we don't know who they've selected yet. So let's not get carried away with that one.
Is that going to be enough, or are we going to have to go 100% and beat the Aussies as well?
I think they've got to beat the Aussies, aren't they, to get an easier run to the semi-final, because potentially you could end up playing New Zealand or that Tonga team in the quarterfinals.
And Tonga looks rock solid, not only for actually playing ability, but for how you pronounce the names. That's an even more of a...
Yeah. Some world-class players in that team.
Some
scary.
Excellent players. Really, really good. I think we're a bit short of backs, to be honest.
Yeah, I think we're running with two centres.
And, you know, Ryan Hall, solid winger, but has he had one of his best this year?
I think
there are
some guys in there that must think, wow, how have I managed that one?
Kevin Brown. Straight off the bat.
Yeah, there's plenty of Warrington representation, I know that, and I know people have been criticising that fact, because Warrington, as we all know, didn't have a great season to the usual high standards. So it does suggest to me that maybe the team's being selected predominantly on the guys who weren't played in last season's Four Nations and the guys who went on the trip to Samoa. They went to Australia to play Samoa.
Yeah, and there's a couple of players there that don't have any caps, and you spoke to both of them, didn't you?
Yes. You spoke
to Warrington's Ben Currie, and also Alex Walmsley. I think we'll hear from Alex first.
Let's hear from Big Al.
For many personal reasons, on and off the field, I've had a great year, I really have, and this is just, you know, another great time I've been having so far. And yeah, it is a cherry, certainly on top of a nice cake.
Huge challenge ahead, though.
Yeah, it is, and any sort of international competition is a huge challenge, and we're very fortunate as a sport to have such a tight-knitted competition, especially this year. You only need to look at the Tonga, Samoa squads, and your home nations, your Wales, your Islands, your Scotlands, your Frances, you know, obviously Australia and New Zealand speak for himself, but it's all boding for what I imagine is going to be a great spectacle.
Is it Sam King you're going to be on the plane?
Yeah, it has, I think, just about. Obviously, going out to Australia in May has given me an experience of what it means to represent, you know, I didn't get to represent my country, but be a part of an international squad and what's expected and what you need to do. So that's really helped me out, obviously preparing for this week. And yeah, it was a great, unbelievable feeling, and I'm filled with excitement.
There's going to be plenty of competition for a place in that pack, though.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we're very fortunate as a nation to have such a fantastic pack. And you know, as pack speaks for itself, you look at the boys in the NRL, you know, your James Graham's, your Sam Burgess's, your Tom Burgess's, your Elliot Whitehead's, you know, they've been doing really, you know, tearing up trees for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years now in the NRL. and you look at, you know, your experience of your Crystals and Charlotte, it's a fantastic pack. It's a pack as a nation we're proud of, and obviously it's going to be tough to break into it, but hopefully I'll get the opportunity.
Certainly come a long way from slogging up the hill at Batley, and it's through Pividens it does work.
Yeah, it does. I've not come the conventional route. I've obviously come around the houses a little bit, and you know, I remember back, you know, it was only five years ago I was playing at Batley, you know, and it's been a whirlwind since then. That for me, when signing for Batley was at the time was the pinnacle of my career, and year on year that pinnacle sort of got higher now and finalised today with being part of the World Cup squad for England.
And probably playing against some of the best players in the world as well, from Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, that's why you play the game. You want to play against the best. You want to be a part of the best squads, and I'm very fortunate to get, you know, hopefully get that opportunity. The best players in the world, and I've been for many years, and yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, obviously playing the trail against them.
You mentioned it's a huge challenge. If we're going to get the job done, what do we have to do?
I think there's going to be an emphasis on how we start the campaign, and obviously we've got a tough group. We need to make sure we come through the group well and not put us in as strong a position we can heading into the knockout stages. Obviously we've got the players who are capable of doing it, and as long as we play to our potential, we're going to give ourselves a good chance.
You're going to be away for about 7 weeks, and you're a new dad, so you're going to be missing your newborn.
Yeah, of course, it's daunting leaving a 5-week-old at home. It's going to be tough, but I'm not the only player who's got family and children, and everyone's going to miss the loved ones, me as well, and you know, it's going to be tough, but listen, you get part. There's only so many opportunities in life you get to do things like this, and it's certainly something you can't pass up or worry about.
He'd be relieved with the Lions, won't he?
He probably will be. He'll probably get more sleep in the hotels or wherever they're going to be stopping. Is it me? Or every time you interview somebody, you always try and get a mention of Batley.
You've got to get the big hill of Batley in every interview that you do.
Wow.
It's the mecca of rugby league. You know it is.
I'm impressed. And he's got fond memories.
Listen, he learnt his trade running up that hill. He's going from the big hill of Batley to the land of Super League, and now he's on the golden dusty fields of Australia.
Oh,
the golden plains of Australia. There you go.
You went very poetic there.
I did,
mate.
Didn't I?
Yeah. I'm gonna put you forward.
I will tell you something
laureate.
About Alex Walmsley.
All right. Okay.
While I was waiting to interview the big guy, I was just staring at his feet.
Well, I won't ask why, but go on.
Anyway, he has shoes on, don't forget. So before, when I sat down, we were talking off air, I said, if you don't mind, I was looking at your feet while I was waiting, and just queried, what size shoe are you? Size 12.
He'd never fall over, would
size
he?
Size 12, I know. I was flabbergasted.
Right, okay.
Huge feet. I thought I'd share that with you.
Well, you know,
he's had a great
enough.
Season, though. At least he admitted it.
Yeah, I mean, he's made over 4,200 metres in Super League this year, so...
I reckon Wayne Bennett will put him in. I would.
I would, to be honest.
He'd be a handful.
He is a handful. And especially if you then go in with James Robey. Robey knows his game inside out, doesn't
he?
So I would go with the pair of them.
Unfortunately for the likes of Alex Walmsley and Scott Taylor, who we're going to hear from very shortly, that's where the strength is. It's in the pack, isn't it? You've got the Burgess brothers. You've got Jammer in James Graham. It's going to be tough to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, you do look, and that is one place where we're blessed, really, with talent, aren't we, here in the UK? There's
I know a lot of one or two people who got their eyebrows raised with the inclusion of Heitingham, but there you go.
Yeah, I mean, Heitingham for me.
Heitingham, sorry. Did I pronounce that wrong?
You did, but I'm going to give you...
Listen, I'm from Widnes.
Yeah, that's all
can't
right.
Can't pronounce posh names.
That's all right. I'm from Lee, and I'm not going to attempt any of them Tonga names.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah, we will.
We've got to revise it.
We'll have to go through it, get the old pen and paper out, I think, and go through. Now, another guy that you caught up with, another one of the new boys, Ben Curry. He's had a real injury hit season.
He has.
But he's made the plane. This is what he had to say to you, Adrian.
It was always a goal, but then once I got the slight knock again after my second game back, I was always worried a little bit, but seeing Wayne Bennett and the staff here have showed great faith for me, kept me in the squad throughout the year, so hopefully I can repay him when I get up there.
When you got the phone call, what was your emotions at that point?
Yeah, well, I was away with the missus, actually. I was on the beach.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it was raining, though, bouncing down with rain, so it was a bit wet. But I say I was just over the moon. I didn't know what to expect. I was sitting around or walking around all day, just looking at my phone, waiting for it to ring to try and find out the information. But I said it ended up being good news, and it was really happy, and I was over the moon.
For the horror season, in terms of injuries, do you think that dream had gone?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely want to. I had a little setback again after a comeback. but it'd be hard to make the squad. Like I said, they've showed great faith in me, and I'm looking forward to replaying when we get over there.
Plenty of Warrington boys in the squad as well.
Yeah, it's good to know a few faces. Like I said, we've trained throughout the year. I know all the boys here now. I've either played with them when I was younger or played against them. So I think it's a good mix of lads in. I'm looking forward to it.
What's the mood like in the camp?
Positive, yeah. Real good. All you got to do is look around the room really and see the squad. And we know we've got a really good chance at this. And I think we're all eager to get started.
Looking at the challenge, where do you think it's going to come from?
It's going to be the first game's going to be a tough one. Open it up into it. That's the one you want. That's how you want to start. Really, you want to go straight into the deep end. I'm saying we get over top of them. It's going to fill us with so much confidence. It's going to go on and win it. Hopefully,
one of the games is a bit of an unknown quantity. I don't think England have ever played Lebanon, have they?
Not that I know of. Anyway, obviously I've not played anyone with England yet, so I have not played them. So I said it'll be. Don't know what to expect, but I'm sure we'll have more information when we get over there and off the staff.
What kind of stuff will they do between now and the start of the tournament?
Like I said, we fly out 2 days now. We fly out on Thursday. I'm sure when we get over there, we'll have a bit of recovery. And then I'm sure Wayne's got some plans that we don't know all just yet, but he'll have some plans for us to get us out on the team, get on the field, train together. We need to get used to each other's combinations and just get us all prepared for the first game.
I know your focus is on the World Cup, but it's been announced, new coach at Warrington, and now Andrew Henderson is the assistant coach. It looks like it could be a good season next year.
Yeah, obviously, I can hear all that stuff going on as well, but my main focus right now is with England. Obviously, when we come back for the World Cup, we've got a whole different staff, quite a lot of new players to come back to. It's going to be an interesting season next year, but like I said, main focus is now on England for the World Cup.
Good politician's answer, that.
That was a cracking sidestep from him, wasn't it? You asked him about Warrington.
Dazzled me.
And he just like, right, that's it, I'm not talking about that.
Sidestep that and talk about England.
Yeah, not talking about
focus
that.
Focus is World Cup, baby.
But I mean, you know, let's touch very quickly on that whole Warrington situation. It's a vast change in personnel there all the way through, isn't it?
Changing the guard right through, isn't it?
And I mean, even interestingly enough, from the guy that wins the Young Player of the Year award, signing a 3-year
Will
contract
Dagger
at Hull Kingston Rovers. For
Hull, yeah. Good signing for them.
A very good signing for him. He played about 89 games,
didn't he,
last year?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was the English international, represented Ireland in the last World Cup, didn't he?
He's
stepping forward. I'm hoping
he can do it in Down Under, where you've got New Zealand just saying, you know what, I'm not playing for you now, I'm going to play for Tonga or Samoa. Why can't we do it? What's the difference?
Well, you know, it's
no difference.
No, I'm just waiting to see, you know, who we're going to represent. Have you got, you know, have you got any
Lithuania?
Have you got any
Lithuania got a national team?
We can make one.
I could play for them.
You reckon?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
My grandparents are Lithuanian.
Oh, there you go. That's fair enough. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
do
then
that.
Then you can play for Australia next time.
Play for Australia, yeah. Why not? Yeah, so get a national team for Lithuania and I could be the physio.
Back to Ben Curry, though. I mean, he's probably one of these guys that must be thanking his lucky stars. That
he's class, though, isn't he?
He is class, yeah.
The guy's class and he's got speed as well. He's got great offload. He's got speed. I mean, in a foot race, he's probably faster than the back line. So we question the fact that there's not as many backs in that squad in terms of the back four, in terms of centres, but they have that ability, or Ben Curry's got that ability, if needed, to play in the centres. Maybe that's the way they're thinking.
Possibly it is, yeah. And I mean, he's not going to do as many carries, arguably, is he, in the back line as he would do as a second role
man. He's a big lad as well.
He is a big lad. I mean, don't get me wrong, I really like Ben Curry as a player. I just think it's a bit of a risk, to be honest. A guy that's only played 2 games of rugby league in the last, 18 months?
He's going to be fresh.
That's one way you can.
That's one way you can look at it.
Could you not say he's going to be a bit ring rusty though, because he's not had that much time on the
field?
Yeah,
but I'm sure they'll put him through the ropes when they get over there.
Listen,
before the tournament starts.
Listen, we should put all our faith in King Bennett. He's the man with the
plan.
He
is the man. Yes.
Okay, talking about backs, you also spoke. You were very busy, I've got to say, on this this evening.
Have to be. It was a full room.
You was earning your corn. I hope that you managed to get some food in between.
Well, the media have the usual sandwiches, but we always get into rugby league players eat healthily. Now, maybe it's because we're in the off-season, so they maybe changed the menu a little bit yesterday. But the guys were eating burger and chips. That's not exactly healthy food, is it?
Right, that's it. I'm going to put that on my my healthy regime, you know.
Players have been pulled away from the burger queue to come and talk to journalists.
I bet that's what enticed all the full squad there. Usually, if it had just been, you know, your normal pasta, there would have only been half a dozen turned
exactly,
up or something.
But burger and chips, get in there, let's have it.
One guy that you spoke to who's really looking forward to the experience is Jermaine McGilvery. Have a listen to this, because if there's a more happy guy to have been in the World Cup squad, I've yet to meet him.
I feel like I've got a whole town behind me. The only one from Huddersfield, you know, I need to go out there and make them proud.
Still enjoying the fact you are involved with the England setup?
Oh, without a doubt, it's, you know, it's the pinnacle of my career, representing my country. It makes me proud, my family, my friends. You know, I loved every minute of it, and you know, I just want to enjoy it while I can.
Playing on the wing, you, the man, is going to have to score the tries. It's going to be a tough ask out there, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. We're playing against the best players in the world. So it's gonna be tough, but it's not just about scoring tries as well. I need to make the hard yards for my team, you know, try to get them on the front foot. But you know, that's my job, it's always been my job, and I'm used to it, and it's nothing different to what I do each season.
Been a long, hard season. How are you feeling at this moment?
Yeah, feeling really good. I've had a week off a couple of weeks back, and you know, England have put us through our paces last week in altitude chambers and stuff, so it's blown a few cobwebs off. So yeah, I'm feeling fighting fit, and plus we've got another 10-day training camp in Perth come Friday, I think it is. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm ready to go.
What's the mood like in the camp?
Yeah, as you can see, everyone's chittering and chattering and bantering around. It's always been good. It's probably a similar group of players that was here for the Four Nations, so everyone's comfortable and around everyone, and you know, it's like a club environment. So especially for me, being the only one from Huddersfield, I feel real comfortable around the boys, and everyone's really welcoming as well.
I'm sure the English Rugby League fans will be putting a lot of pressure on you guys. Will you be worrying about that?
So they should. You know, when you play for your country, any sport, you should feel pressure, because you're representing not just yourselves and your team, you're representing the whole nation. And that's the way I feel. I love that. I love the fact that there is pressure from everyone. So it shows that everyone cares, and, you know, they want us to do well. And, you know, if we don't, they're there to kick us. But, it's really good. And pressure brings out diamonds, so they say, don't they?
The usual threat's going to be Australia and New Zealand, but is there anybody else in that maybe could give it a problem or two?
Yeah, I don't think you've seen the Tongans even, have you? They look really strong as well. A couple of their players have come from the Australian and New Zealand national team. But on any given day, if you don't turn up, you're going to get hurt by any team. So not just, obviously, your so-called, your big nations, not just them, but you're looking at your smaller ones as well, who are there. They're not there to make up the numbers. They're holding the pressure of nations as well, and they want to do really well. So, you know, it's pressure every game, and every game is a tough game, so you have to go out there and do your best.
He's loving it.
He is loving it.
He's loving it.
Is there a more enthusiastic guy that anybody was speaking to?
No.
I mean, that's what
No pressure, by the way. He's representing Huddersfield, not just England.
I know.
He's got the town.
He's got the town right
behind
him.
To think about.
He's got the country right behind him.
He has.
And he knows that they're going to kick him if he does wrong.
But where are they going to kick him?
We could mention it, but we'd probably get taken
off. It's a family show.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find the heater on loverbully.com and Radio General. Yeah, it's a family show. We can't say that.
No. But
yeah, Jermaine McGilvery, great player, strong as an ox.
I like him. I think that he's really powerful going forward. You can usually rely on him for a couple of line breaks a game.
Yes.
He's usually up there around about the 120, 130 metres mark to put a little bit of meat on your bones.
Without a doubt. I mean, whoever England play during this World Cup, we mentioned the group games, but when they get to the knockout stages, whoever's opposite McGilvery, they're not going to be in for an easy ride, are they?
They're not going to fancy it, are they?
No,
be
not at all.
I mean, it's the same like we were talking about with the Tongan squad and having Mahe Fanua there, isn't it? And the way that he's been in Super League for the last couple of years. But yeah, I mean, arguably, Jermaine McGilvery, he's the main reason why Huddersfield ended up moving up the division, isn't he?
Yeah, without a doubt. I know we're focusing on England during this Final Hooter podcast, but when we come back for the Rugby League World Cup podcast, Final Hooter, we will go more in depth with the other teams. But because England were the only ones here having the media days, I know Wales had theirs today, but we couldn't get there, could we?
Unfortunately not, no.
No.
But you managed to speak to Scott Taylor as well, and this is another guy who, I've got to say,
he wants to rip up trees, man.
He's really confident, is he? Have a listen to this.
Scott Taylor, after a tremendous season, must be buzzing to be involved in the England squad for the forthcoming World Cup.
Yeah, mate, obviously it's something I was thinking about a lot, and obviously I just wanted to play well for a week in, week out, and win stuff for them. But to get picked in it and to know that it's reality now and I'm flying over on Thursday, I can't wait.
you're in the park, there's some competition for places.
Oh yeah, like I said, look everywhere you look, there's competition for players. So I don't think anyone could sit down now and say that's going to be the 17 for Australia, which is a good thing. So it's basically you're going to have to go there, train well, and do your thing to get in that team. And if you get in that team, then take your opportunity.
What kind of preparation would the boys go through between now and the start of the tournament?
Basically just get ourselves in the right nick for that flight, do everything we can on the flight while sleeping at the right times. The backroom staff here are first class and they know what we need to be doing. They got us turned around good on that Samoa game, we went over there, so we've had a bit of a run through of it and we've been there and done it. So yeah, just get ourselves ready as possible so when it comes to day one of training we're feeling 100% and we can give it our all.
You mentioned the fact you have been over there to play Samoa, how did you find that experience?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Obviously I just missed out and was 18th man, but to go over there and be part of the team, that 19 man squad, and an experience that obviously I was gutted not to play, but the 17 lads that took the field did a brilliant job, got a real good win against a strong Samoan team.
That gives you a sense of what to expect when you're over there.
100%. I think that was the main reason of doing it. And first game's the Aussies, so you don't get much time to try and pick up some form. Well, I doubt we need to get there and rip in, but I think the good thing is a lot of the lads are the same, similar squad to Four Nations, similar squad to the mid-season. We all know each other very well now, and we should hit the ground running.
Been a long hard season. How's the body coping at this moment?
I feel good, mate. I feel good. I was in a lot worse shape when into Four Nations last year. In the fact of I only missed one game all last year for all, and that was arrested. This year, I've been gutted to have picked up a few injuries, and I've missed 6 or 7 games through injury. And but that might have been a bit of a blessing in disguise, because going into this World Cup now, the body's feeling very good for this time of the year.
Last tournament we fell short at the semi, can we go one step further and make the final?
100%, we're going over there to do it, not make the numbers up.
Not making the numbers up.
Wow, confidence.
Hopefully, and we're not.
He's backed up your point as well about what you need is a few injuries, that'll get you through your career.
Exactly.
And make sure when you get in to represent your country,
fully refreshed and raring to go for the World Cup.
Ah, see. So we'll be back with our World Cup podcast, won't we, in the next couple of weeks.
But we're going to say fond farewell to 2017. See ya.